3, 2, 1.
Here we go. Welcome to the No Normal Show, brought to you by BPD, a marketing services firm that delivers the future to healthcare's leading brands. This show is where we leave all things status quo, traditional, old school, and boring in the dust, and celebrate the new, the powerful, the innovative, the bold, all focused around the future of healthcare marketing and communications. I'm Desiree Duncan, Vice President of Health Equity and Inclusion. And today I'm joined by Stephanie Wirbel, EVP of Engagement. Hi, Stephanie.
Hi, Des. I'm so excited to chat with you today. You said we're leaving all things boring in the dust. And I think that today we really are leaving all things boring in the dust with this agenda.
Truly. We're diving into all the worlds of advertising and marketing and all that. And what's the future? But would it also a little bit of taste of history, because nerd I am.
Nerd, I love that. We both have our nerdy glasses on, so we're ready to go.
Indeed. Since sixth grade, the nerd glass has been there. But today's show, we'll be covering, you know, essentially, what does advertising even mean in this world today? I feel like I don't even hear that word. And then we're going to get into the all new tech news around OpenAI, Google, I/O, and Apple announcements, all of the things. And then our big topic today will be around search and how search is changing and how essentially it is here, but you're going to have to make some shifts. But before we get into that, let's talk a little bit about what's kind of going on with us. Our new payer provider research report is out. It's Good People, Flawed System. You can find it on our website, bpdhealthcare.com. But also, more importantly, you can find it right here in the show notes. So just get on that phone and search and you'll be able to click and find it. And then, of course, if you can't get enough of the No Normal Show, be sure to subscribe to our newsletter, The No Normal Rewind, which recaps this discussion and will provide some extra insights that you won't find anywhere else. But we also have something very new and exciting to announce. I know, Stephanie, you've had a really big hand in this, so I would love for you to tell us more about it.
Yeah, we were so excited to announce a couple weeks ago that we are expanding our data and AI services. So for all of our listeners out there, you've heard us talk a lot about all things data and tech and AI and how that all affects marketing and communications going forward. And meanwhile, we've been building some new services and capabilities and already been offering those to clients. So one of the important new headlines is that our precision marketing and data solution services have expanded. So we have new precision marketing packages. And just as a quick reminder, that includes one-to-one targeting for service line marketing that can actually drive up to 20x ROI. It's just been something that's been so fun to work on in partnership with our clients. And so we're expanding those services. And then the other element is our AI consultation suite. So we have a marketing AI accelerator program that we've been offering to clients because we've seen the dramatic need for ongoing education around what AI is doing in the marketing space and how to rethink every single workflow, every single task from a health system marketer standpoint. So we have several sort of levels of educational programs. And then we also have custom AI consulting that we've been offering for, I would say, the past 6 to 9 months, which are just rethinking, you know, everything from innovation to tech stack development to roadmaps to marketing teams holistically within health systems. So I could go on too long and too much about this, Des, because it's my world and I love to swim in it. But it's been fun to announce this more broadly.
Yeah, this is like right in your like special wheelhouse. This is exciting and it's fun. I mean, for me, I always kind of love a process. I was more of like a geometry person than an algebra because I love to just like break it down rather than just like some formula or whatever. So yes, exciting.
Nerd.
nerd alert. And speaking of this segue, we're getting into our next topic, which is essentially I recently watched The Real Mad Men of Chicago. This is a documentary by WTTW, PBS station there, and it really gets into the history of the advertising industry based in Chicago. Like, obviously, you were familiar with the show Mad Men and Don Draper and all the Madison Avenue and all that kind of good stuff from New York. But Chicago is a major player in the advertising world. So it went into a lot of the legendary organizations and agencies like Leo Burnett, and then Tom Burrell of the Burrell Communications. And I didn't realize how many iconic characters came out of this this world. They had the good Midwestern flair, very like wholesome in a way. But, you know, do you remember characters like the Jolly Green Giant, Tony the Tiger, and of course, the Marlboro Man, RIP to Big Tobacco. But it was really interesting to see how those characters came into came to life, came into fruition, all that good stuff. And speaking of, I know we've been doing a ton of travels. It was really cool to see, you know, legendary lines of copy like Fly the Friendly Skies that was born for the United Airlines and Strong Enough for a Man but Made for a Woman, for Secret Deodorant and all of those others. But it got me thinking about, especially since our past brand conversations, it really got me thinking about like, wow, you know, the advertising of yesteryear versus, you know, essentially what it is today. And if in a way, is advertising even a relevant word? Because like I said before, I'm like, I haven't even really heard or like said that word other than like talking about history. But I'm kind of curious your thoughts, Stephanie, on like kind of where we are in this landscape.
You're giving me whiplash in a good way. You know, like I said, I think we swim every day in an AI landscape, in a technology landscape, in a precision marketing world. And very rarely do I pause and think about where we've come from, I think, collectively. And as you're talking through things like the Jolly Green Giant, the Marlboro Man, it's giving museum. and I'm not saying that in a pedantic way, I guess. I'm just thinking about where we've come from as a collective. And so, you know, I even think now you're making me reflect 20 years ago in my life, I was working on things like the Chick-fil-A cows or, you know, Tom Baudet and We'll Leave the Light On for You with Motel 6. And that's what our world was. And the fruit guys from Fruit of the Loom. And I'll fast forward to today. And I think what's really, really interesting is how some of that spirit of brand, I'll call it brand building. We talked about brand last week in depth. And we said brand is not advertising. Brand is not an ad. Brand is not a logo. Brand is, you know, an emotional feeling that you create. And how you created that feeling 20 years ago was with things like the Marlboro Man or the Chick-fil-A cows, right? It was often a platform story that could be told in ads. Today, I think what continues is creating a brand through a storytelling platform, but that storytelling platform looks completely different. It looks like experiences. It looks like immersivity. It looks like nonlinear narratives with short, you know, TikToks that are reaching people in that moment of scrolling wherever they are. It looks like one-to-one messages that are super personalized. And I think that as we move forward in an AI landscape, we'll tell more personalized stories that resonate. What's my version of the cows, right? Your version of the cows might be different than my version of the cows. It may not even be a cow, literally. So anyway, I say you're giving me whiplash, but I think it's interesting to consider what still lives. And I wouldn't even call it advertising anymore of how we storytell. We've moved into more of a tech landscape. What is your take, Des?
Yeah, my take is, I mean, you know, that was from the era of, you know, we had very few, I guess, channels or levers to pull or places for us to show up. It was TV, it was radio, and it was print. That was all, like, that was it. And then social media came onto the internet, and then social media, and then now, of course, AI and email and all that kind of stuff. So there's so many different channels. But I guess as a consumer, I keep thinking about like, oh my God, like I'm getting like you get hit constantly with ads. And as you scroll all day long, like you're just scrolling by ads. So then how do you stand out in the world when you're kind of more inundated with ads than you used to? I was thinking about like magazines and how we used to really pore over ads actually in the magazines versus today we're like, oh my God. But to your point around the experiential and, you know, out of home is really having a resurgence, really finding those clever opportunities to show up in front of folks beyond just kind of scrolling. It gets me thinking about, you know, having more of that opportunity to look outside of traditional in order to reach our consumers.
Yeah. I think it just goes back last week. If anyone didn't listen to our convo last week, it was a fun debate around Scott Galloway had said that brand is dead. And we kind of dug into it and sort of decided brand is absolutely not dead. The era of brand is bigger than ever. Of course, there's a nice, beautiful balance between brand and performance marketing. However, I think what's dead is ads alone, right?
Well, you can't just get off on ads alone. You have to show up in so many different ways because, like, how else are you going to permeate? All right, let's get into some headlines. So, you know, speaking of all the different ways that we can show up, you know, we've been hearing a ton of announcements. It feels like every single, I don't know, hour, there's a new update. But I know, Stephanie, you've been keeping a close eye on some of the announcements from the Google I.O., Apple, as well as, you know, some new maybe tech and tools and maybe a different product killer from OpenAI. What have you been reading?
Absolutely. So I'm going to hit these three pretty quickly, but it's been a month of really major news headlines from the tech space. And when I say a month, I mean, these are big enough announcements that they could be, you know, again, going back years ago, it would have been 3 years of news. And it's just all happened in a matter of weeks. And so the first one was an announcement by with OpenAI, where Sam Altman sat down with former Apple design chief. So the person who literally designed the iPhone. And they announced a deal that they are working together to create a new suite of AI native devices. And they were very vague in how they talked about these devices, I think intentionally so, which caused the whole world to sit down and imagine, what could this be, right? So we don't really know exactly what it could be, but it's sort of this third core device, which makes screens obsolete effectively. So, you know, it might be a small little marble-shaped device that fits in your pocket. It might be something that visualizes and can actually see the world. It might be something that sits on your desk. We don't know yet what it looks like. I think that the vision, though, is it's the next new iPhone, right? It's the next new device that means that we no longer have to scroll, because I imagine it's like Alexa, but actually good. It could actually see the world around you and store your memories. So that alone is a mind-blowing what moment. It won't be with us for the next couple of years. I think it's still in early development. So that was announcement number one. Let me pause there, Des, on that one before I get to announcement number two, which was equally as big.
Yeah, I was literally about to say, what?
Right.
That's incredible. But also I'm thinking of the speculation of just being able to just kind of sit here and be like, oh, what, like, what's it going to be? And then like it shows up and it's either something we could have never even remotely imagined the way that the iPhone showed up, or it might be like, oh, like really? Kind of like how Google Glass was some years back. But yeah, deeply, deeply curious.
Yeah. And what I definitely, for anyone who hasn't watched the sit down, it was almost like a coffee shop sit down video, really well done. It was a conversation much like this. But you know, they were intentionally vague, as I said, and so it gets all of us imagining. But what I liked about it was it gave the spirit of, this is not something people are asking for. This is something that's being designed with the future in mind, right? So every new iPhone is kind of like an incremental update, and it sounds like this is a way to go, okay, what would reimagining devices look like? So anyway, the next new news that happened, I think it was like a week after that, was the Google I.O. event. So Google announced so many announcements I can't even quantify. It felt like over 100. It was a significant amount of announcements. So we won't go into depth here. But it was, I think that the biggest headline was Veo. So Google Veo is the new AI-generated text-to-video model. And the demos that I've seen with this, what I've seen people doing with this, it feels like yet another major leap forward in AI-generated video. Very, very, very close to realistic. I won't say 100% perfect, but, you know, that Sora moment that happened when OpenAI came out with the first very realistic AI-generated video was like a world-turning moment. And this was another world-turning moment where we're just getting closer and closer and closer to the Hollywood of AI-generated video. So there was many, many, many other announcements, but I think that the bottom line here is that OpenAI was really the darling in the AI space, and then Google I.O. hit, and it felt like, at least to me, Google really leapfrogged OpenAI with their abilities.
Wow. I'm thinking it's been, what, 20 years since the iPhone came out? But looking at all of the technology and the growth, and I mean that VO, the quality of it, it's getting there, which is kind of insane to think about what we'll be able to create.
Yeah. And it's happening faster than we can keep up. So
it's almost like if you go on vacation or you like go off the grid for only a few days, it's like the whole, you come back to a completely different world.
That was my experience. I went to Alaska. I wasn't totally off the grid, but, you know, I wasn't reading news every 5 minutes. And Google I/O happened while I was in the middle of the ocean in Alaska looking at glaciers. And I came back and I just felt like I was so behind. And I think that's just going to speed up more and more. I feel like that's going to become every minute instead of every week in the future. So, okay, one more announcement. So Apple, yes, I think this was this yesterday or 2 days ago? It was this week, the week of June 10th. Apple had WWDC, their big event, and they made a slew of announcements. They had some Apple Intelligence announcement, but really there was nothing as big as the Google Gemini announcements. There was nothing as big as the OpenAI announcement. I think a lot of it was incremental. Good changes, things like liquid glass, which is a new design aesthetic on the iPhone, which some people are very excited about. There was some, you know, kind of slight and in some ways impactful in the day-to-day changes in how you can actually use your iPhone and communicate with other people. But the way that the markets reacted and the general tech industry was, hey, Apple, where's your AI announcements, right? So you could argue about either side. On one hand, Apple's making practical, real-life adjustments that impact people's day-to-day use of the iPhone. On another side of the argument, you could say they're still losing the AI game. They are just losing it in terms of the buzz.
Yeah, it happened, I think, with the recent iPhone, where there was all of this talk around like the AI being built into the system, but then that was kind of a flop. And then, you know, we're seeing this advance from OpenAI. It's like, where are you? Hello, what's going on? But just there's a difference between keeping up with, you know, software, which is changing every minute, every hour, versus, you know, the hard tech. Which it sounds like they're kind of struggling to stay up to speed on. But here we go. But segue into our next topic. I know one of the announcements from Google and things that we have already been, of course, seeing and experiencing is the AI overview. You know, when you go to Google something, you get, you know, this initial kind of highlight of, you know, more of the answers essentially that you're trying to find versus the different links to articles and what have you. So really taking on more of that form of what we're used to seeing in the ChatGPT, the LLMs and all that good stuff. And so there's a lot of conversation around, like, you know, quote unquote, is search dead? Which I feel like everything we talked about today has been about, is this dead? Is that thing dead? It's like, no, it's very much alive. And I know, Stephanie, before we get into it, I'm sure you have like the biggest opinions of all the things. But if I'm looking at this and search from my own standpoint, is like my own experience is that, yeah, I do find myself going more to a Perplexity to search for something because I do want to just get straight to that answer rather than having to go through a bunch of links and scroll through. And it's like, oh my God. But Stephanie would love, 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 love to hear your take.
Sure. So I do like to take a balanced approach. I get a little annoyed by the whole brand is dead, search is dead, this is dead, that is dead. It's just like, okay. So just to balance us out for a second, it's really important to note that traditional search engines are still a critical part of users' daily lives, and they should still be a critical part of business strategy. In fact, Google maintains their dominant position with almost 90% market share, effectively 90% market share. It's like 89.6% market share. So Google is still, in the traditional sense, the giant in the space, and there are almost 14 billion searches daily. Now, with that behind us, level set behind us, now let's talk about what's changing, because it is changing dramatically. It is evolving dramatically. And I think it's critical as a healthcare marketer and communicator to make sure that strategies are evolving as the behavior evolves. So what we mean when we say the new search, we're talking about the fancy acronyms I kind of love. It's GEO and AEO, Generative Engine Optimization, or Answer Engine Optimization. We can come back and break those down. We won't go too in the weeds here, but we can break those down. But effectively, yeah, it does. It's like you're talking about, right? It's you Google something and Google is now, you know, of course, disrupting themselves. And they have an AI overview that summarizes things so you don't have to go click through 95 links. The other example would be a ChatGPT or, you know, any kind of large language model where many folks are beginning to bypass search completely. I think I saw a stat where the majority of Gen Z is now not even opening their search engine. They're just jumping straight into their chat and getting the answer directly there. So there's really no click-through of links. So I think most marketers are looking at this and been thinking about this as a trend for a year now and asking the hard question of what does this mean for us, especially as a hospital is a good example of where, you know, perhaps you've been investing a lot in content creation and your whole goal is SEO and making sure that when someone searches for a symptom of an issue, that they're clicking through to you and then ultimately booking a doctor's appointment. So the collapse of that funnel, if people just skip that completely, is a major business disruptor. And that's the hard question that needs to be asked. So that's my summary. I'll pause there and kick it back to you, Des, so we can dig in further.
Yeah, along those lines, you know, I was reading an article that was talking about, you know, what is actually showing up if, you know, younger generations or all generations, if they are going to the chat, the GPTs first, you know, what is actually kind of popping up? And it's more and prioritization of, you know, spaces where there's an actual kind of leader in that and not just pulling up the blogs and who's paid for that ad spend. So there was a post that was really interesting from LinkedIn, and it was talking about the, you know, what's going to get you more for your spend. And so essentially it was looking at, you know, let's say you had 100K for Google Ads, but meanwhile, your competitor CEO was quoted in 3 industry articles this month. So which one of those is going to be pulled up more frequently from the AI assistants? And it's going to be likely that it'll be where the CEO is quoted in some of those industry expert items. So then what does that mean for your particular ad spend when it comes to, you know, making sure that SEO is, you know, relevant within like your articles, your blogs, your content marketing. So it's almost like kind of thinking of, you know, how you write. So of course, still making sure that the SEO, but then there's also really, really great opportunities for earned media. So depending on what industry you or what focus you are in, so there's one thing that's going to be for, you know, patient acquisition and really reaching the consumers. But then there's another route for if you really want to stand out as a major healthcare leader. That to me, that was just really interesting. And like, depending on the audiences, really how that kind of stands up.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that yes, I love your specific example because it kind of gets us thinking a little bit differently about SEO, that maybe it's not the level of detail of keyword optimization that we used to do, but still the same principles matter, right? So the baseline 101 principle has been for a long time, EEAT, which is experience, expertise, authoritative, and trustworthiness, which is kind of Google's model here. And that's very much what you're talking about, right? Which is, okay, we want to make sure that others are mentioning us. We want to make sure that that we're getting linked to from really authoritative sites. Yes, we want to make sure that our content is showing our expertise. Yes, we want to make sure that, you know, it's useful, that it's tailored for how people search. All of those things still matter because LLMs are basically doing the same type of search that a human would do. They're just doing it in 0 seconds so that the human has a zero-click experience, which means they don't have to open all those tabs and they don't have to click through. So the same principles matter. And what I think is interesting here from a marketing strategy standpoint is the Mayo Clinics and the Cleveland Clinics of the world, who have built a large part of their marketing strategy around search because it makes sense for their business and the complex care that they serve and, you know, medical tourism and all of that, that puts them ahead of the game. So I did a little test search here and searched, you know, just who's the best doctor. And I did a variety of conditions, you know, who's the best doctor for a prolactinoma? Who's the best doctor for AFib surgery? Whatever, right? A variety of examples. And in every case, it's pulling the Mayo Clinics in. It's pulling the Cleveland Clinics in. It's pulling in Johns Hopkins. It's pulling in Stanford. Why? Because those same principles that you just mentioned, Des, put them ahead of the game effectively.
And then, but what does that mean for the actual consumer in a, you know, smaller town in like Idaho, right? Where you don't have access to a Mayo, right? So that's not really helping them. So they're still going to need to go to the Google. You're still going to need to have that opportunity to reach them. But then also to your point around like asking who the best doctor is, a lot of that is word of mouth, people going to their own network, social networks to find that. But what I have found interesting throughout all of this is how, and I think maybe I've shared this before, but when you are in your Google search, a lot of times I'm seeing more Reddit posts. And of course, you know, YouTube being one of the largest search engines, you know, there's so much conversation around like tech and the robots are here and all that, but we still rely and want to get to the actual human experience of something and to help us make a better decision. Like we're not just relying on that text.
Yeah. And tech. I just want to note, you know, I think that the same thing generally goes for a local location as well. It's just based on, I didn't specify, you know, I said in the US, but if I were to say in Nashville, Tennessee, you know, it does pull in similar recommendations. So it's pulling from health system websites. So great job on optimizing your, you know, content. Again, same principles apply. It's pulling from things like UN's News and World Report. It's pulling from articles. So it's still going to work. But I think one of the best, again, back to the point of the same principles apply is as a marketer, you still have to make sure that you're thinking through how are people searching and what are the questions they're asking? Not so much about the keywords, but what are the questions they're asking? And so that may change as AI continues to advance. How we ask questions and what we ask may change. And so I saw a study where those who had content most directly answering user questions were much likely to be sourced. I think this was a B2B example. Were much likely to be sourced in an AI answer engine than those that were answering something general. So I think the example was in a B2B situation, it was something around, you know, a question like, what's the best software provider for XYZ? Maybe it wasn't that question, but you get it was a question. As opposed to this complex jargony description of your services. So same principles apply, create content that answers real users' needs in the moment.
Oh yeah, really thinking about how you're kind of shaping it rather than just, you know, saying these things because it's a particular month, but maybe getting more into, yeah, looking at Google search trends to see like, okay, what questions are coming up around this particular service line? And then answering that directly. I love that. I actually just did a Google search of like best ortho surgeon in Seattle. And, you know, what's popping up, like Health Grades is the list. Seattle Magazine apparently has like a list of top orthos. And then it starts to get into some of the hospitals and health systems. So it's very, very interesting. But yeah, to your point, it's like really optimizing around like, what is it that people are actually looking for?
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, I think the other area you were starting to talk about Reddit as another example of, I think that that's a key point, which is, you know, we've always thought about the multi-pronged strategies here for making sure that you're being found in the right moment. And if I did have a hot take on this area, it would be that brand and word of mouth, to your earlier point, matters more than ever in an AI world. So The reason I say that is because, you know, brand has always mattered, but if you don't have people clicking through to your site in the same way and you effectively have a smaller space to show up, right? AI is going to source less than the how many pages of results that Google pulls in. So you have less of a chance is what I'm saying. You have less of a chance to be showing up in the bots, if you will, right? Marketing to bots as well as humans. So how do you break through? It goes back to the human word of mouth. It goes back to all the other spaces you could show up, like Reddit is a good example. It goes back to how strong is your brand so that people think of you when they need you. And it's sort of fascinating to see the zigzag of, you would think that if we're moving into this AEO world, Answer Engine Optimization world, that we would just all run to that and dump all of our money in how do we market to the robots. And there may be some of it, but I think those who win will realize that, in fact, if they focus more on the overarching brand building efforts and the in real life efforts, they might actually win more in that world.
Yeah. I'm kind of going back to that, what you mentioned around Reddit. I know we've talked to, you know, some health systems around like, how can we show up? And as it delivers on brand, it's more around like kind of showing up in those threads, in those subreddits, answering some of the questions. There's an example of, you know, different industry, but, you know, within the electric bike world, whenever there's a question, there's this particular brand, I think Lyric Cycles, they show up and just help answer questions. You know, they're not really trying to drive directly back to, but you see that like, hey, this is actually a brand that's showing up and helping me navigate. So again, it's like really addressing the needs of the consumers at hand. So is there a world where, you know, if someone is posting in Reddit about asking about like, hey, you know, ortho, you know, could a brand, a health system brand show up in those conversations and help answer and guide without a feeling like you're trying to sell them on yourself, but more just kind of showing up as that like, wow, because I remember it really struck me because I was looking for an e-bike at the time. It really struck me how that particular brand answered the question, but that it was recognized by the folks that were in the subreddit. They're like, oh, wow, you're in the chat. Like, that's really cool. And then it really started to engage. And then it really makes you then like, oh, well, let me actually go check out your website, your brand, and maybe consider you. Because if you're so helpful here where customer service may be an issue with other brands, then I might actually select you just purely for that relationship and that customer service.
Yeah, you're giving me a thought, Des, because, you know, you're talking about how can we show up to answer things. And I'm thinking, you know, I don't think we intended it this way, but we've used the word answer now 500 times in this discussion. And I'm having a kind of light bulb moment, and it's tied into something that Rashad Tabakawala talked about. He's a industry thought leader. I'm kind of a fangirl. I love his perspectives. And he said one of the reasons search engine marketing works is because search does not. So let that sit for a second. So what he said was search doesn't really work. He didn't use this phrase of like, it's basically your, what was that Dewey Decimal System, Des, we used to use in the library? It's almost like search is a fancy way of being like, here's the 15,000 books or articles that have been written about your topic. Which one do you want? And in today's world, where we're all pressed for time, no one has time. We just want an answer. We want an immediate, we want the perfect, immediate, personalized answer. I do not want to hunt through encyclopedias in the library, whether they're digitized or physical. So there's a premium on answers. Separately, but related, he also talks about conversation. He says conversation is the third interface. He says there are two interfaces today, search and streams. So think search, obviously, and streams, like streaming media. The third that's joining is conversations. That's like the chat GPT experience, right? The next future of conversations is around agents and agentic AI. But I'm sitting here thinking strategically, there's a premium on answers and there's a premium on conversations. Isn't that what healthcare is at its basic?
It is. Yeah, you're going to your doctor. You have this thing. You can't even really articulate what it is, or if you don't even know what you're like, you haven't been diagnosed, but you're like, I don't know. I'm just, help me navigate. I'm having this pain or I'm having this reaction. And then you're having that conversation with your doctor to then like, who is the expert, to then get to and unpack, you know, what it is that you are actually dealing with. It's a conversation, because like the issue is oftentimes we go to search and then, you know, some site just says that, oh, you're dying. It's like, oh, well, hold on now. But yeah, it is based off of that conversation. So I love that idea about that being the third interface, because in a way it actually gets us to, it gives us that opportunity to convey more of the context for what we're looking for, that like search or even just streaming or listening and hoping that the person mentions what you're looking for shows up. So I love that.
Yeah. I think you led me to that thought, Des, but I'm kind of having this thought of, okay, the new search strategy, it's not even about search really. It's a bigger strategic idea, which is how do you embody the human experience of that great healthcare moment with your doctor, which is I go to the doctor and to your point, mm-hmm. I want an answer, an official, clear, crystal clear answer in plain English. And I want a conversation about me as a human and what I do next. And if you can embody those two things in your marketing, I don't care if it's in search, I don't care if it's in a chat experience, I don't care if it's, you know, maybe in a brand experience or in real life experience, that's where the money is. So yes, SEO still lives. Yes, please keep doing your SEO strategies and your SEM strategies, but also think about this bigger thing around how do I embody human conversations digitally, physically, AI generated and all the things, and how do I embody search?
Yeah, because the expanse of our attention has shortened greatly. So same thing with the answers. You want them now. You want to sift through all the things. This is no longer a gold rush. We're not going to sift through to find the things.
Gold
just give
rush.
Me the gold directly.
That's funny. Speaking of Alaska.
So, all right, we'll wrap here. So for all of you listening, don't forget that we want to hear from you. So shoot us an email at onormal@bpdhealthcare.com. So that your question may be featured in our next episode. And make sure to share the show with friends and colleagues and give us a review and rating on iTunes and Spotify. All of that would be greatly appreciated. And until next time, don't ever be satisfied with the normal. Push that no normal, y'all, because nothing is dead. And we'll talk to you next week.
Bye.
3, 2, 1. Here we go.